And the greeting of the Lord's Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We're meditating this morning on verses 12 through 20 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, the lover of our souls, friends of our hearts, dearly redeemed children of God. It's a distinct memory in my mind going to see an old friend in his study years ago. And he was so happy while he was showing me all the trophies of his life. But then he looked over at a shelf on the wall, and the old man's eyes started to tear up. And he took an urn off the shelf and explained to me that this was the ashes of his little puppy. It seemed kind of strange that someone would say that, but if you knew the man, tough as he was, there was one thing he could not talk about without the tears streaming down his cheeks. That was that one little creature in his life that showed him unconditional love. Didn't care what else the world was like or what was going on. Always hop up on his lap. It was just that friend that old man really needed. And when 10 years before that, and he just tears down his cheeks. That's why I told you that story last week about that boy seeing a little puppy dog in the window and working so hard to finally buy that puppy. And then the puppy runs away and he finds it in some other pet shop, and the owner won't give him his dog, so he has to go back and work again and buy that dog. And he takes the dog home and he holds it close in his arms and he says, I bought you twice. Don't run away again. If you can just picture yourself, I mean, sometimes that's the best we can do to try to describe unconditional love as the pets that we've had. But if you can consider yourself and picture yourself like that puppy in the arms of God, that's the determined love that he's shown for us since all eternity, that he wants us as his own, and he did make us his own twice. The first time when he created us, we had no reason to run away, but we did. And he sought for us and found us and bought us again at the price of his own shed blood, and made us his own. And really, in this text today, he's talking to us like that little puppy in the arms of the little boy and saying, don't run away again. Stay close. Don't be mastered by anything. See, you were bought at a price. When I read this letter of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, I am amazed at his patience. He keeps on calling them saints of God, holy ones of God. He uses endearing, loving names, even though he has to, as a pastor, get pretty tough with them. These people were so arrogant that they were pitting one pastor against another, like, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, you know, I follow Christ, as if following Christ was different than following the apostles. They were so arrogant that they thought, well, we're a progressive congregation. We just let people kind of do what they want. This sounds like American Christianity today. So they had a man living in gross immorality openly. And they were kind of patting themselves on the back for just letting it go. And Paul actually says to them, you need to meet together and in the spirit of the Lord for the sake of this man's soul, excommunicate him. Tell him he's going to hell, that he's not part of the congregation anymore, in hopes that you can win him back. Because this can't continue. These were people that had heard of the grace of God. They knew they were washed and cleansed by the blood of Christ. But you know how we get. It's like the Israelites in the desert. God blesses us. He gives us the food, the manna. They didn't have shoes that wore out. They wandered 40 years in the desert in the same clothes, in the same shoes, because they weren't wearing out. So what would fashionable Americans think about that? Say, same shoes, I got to wear them 40 years? Well, got to keep eating that food? Yeah. Because if you had tried to feed the Israelites, the quartermaster of the army in the United States figured out how many trainloads they would have had just to feed that many million people out there, train after train, a couple of trains a mile long, daily. And then all the water to feed them. And here's the Lord just overflowing with His grace and goodness. That's the way we get. He gives us His mercy. He gives us His grace. We get arrogant in His grace and we run away like little puppies. So in the verses right before our text, he's saying something which cannot be printed in a Canadian newspaper, and it may not be too long before this is also considered hate speech in America. You can't in Canada even put this scripture reference in a newspaper, and a layman tried it and he was fined. A priest talked about this and he was jailed in Canada. It's coming to America. It's getting very close this fall. Very close. These are the words. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. There's really about only one word that it seems like most Christians in America are hearing in that passage right now. It's meant for everybody. God does not discriminate. There isn't a soul in this place today, including the pastor, that's left out of those. If we live in those sins unrepentant, we cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But what does the heart do when it hears the mercy and grace of God? It says things like this in our old New International. It put it in quotes, and that's probably a good editorial thing because it sounds like it's the Corinthians saying this. It sounds like what they'd say. Well, I'm free. Paul, you've been talking about this freedom. Everything is permissible for me. And Paul has to come back and say, now wait a minute, not everything is beneficial. So you're young and you get the keys to the car and you realize you are in the most powerful machine that you may ever drive in your life. Unless you become a fighter pilot someday. By then you will have been tested. And this attitude of those young drivers who seem to need that mandatory, I've been told this by my neighbors. You got to have the mandatory accident before you're really an adult driver? Ooh, those could be deadly. But boy, the power. And all you got to do is just press harder on that pedal, and you don't need to press that hard, and you can really be flying along. You got the power. Doesn't mean you have a right to use it. See, the power may be there. You may have the freedom, but it may not be safe. may not be legal, and it certainly may not be beneficial. Everything's permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. God gives these good gifts, and they get hold of us. I mean, how many TV shows do we need to have out there of Americans who can't control their eating? But there's something to that. If food gets hold of us, then gluttony's got us by the throat. But then you hear about other people that go the other way. And vanity gets hold of them. Then they can't keep their food down, or they won't, because this self-image is what they need to live by. They call it anorexia or eating disorders. Whatever's got hold of you, whatever is not answering to you and to the Lord, has got the mastery. And so Paul says, this is actually a quote too, probably, food for the stomach and the stomach for food. Fine. But God will destroy them both. Come the judgment day, the last trumpet call, there's no more food and there's no more stomach as we know it that has to eat in order to live. God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality. How did he get there? Just talking about the stomach, and he now goes into the bedroom. Good grief, it just sounds like such an abrupt change. I don't know why we think that way, because this is so ingrained in our society. It's just so part of how we are. You know the firestorm that hit the media when a college woman who was demanding that the government pay for her promiscuity, when she was called a prostitute, oh, we can't do that. We don't like those names. Well, God uses them. Do you suppose that Christians who are sinning with sex outside of marriage, like being called sexually immoral, or when money becomes our God, God calls us idolaters? If one or the other is married, it's called adultery. That's before we even get to the male prostitutes or the homosexual offenders. People that steal from their boss at work, either by taking something or not giving a good day's work for a good day's pay, are thieves. Do you suppose rich Christian businessmen or women like being called greedy? Or someone who is under the influence and not in control, a drunkard? Would our media like to be called slanderers for the way they keep spreading around things about people that not everybody should know? Swindlers, lawyers and politicians, like that name? None will inherit the kingdom of God. Anybody left out? He simply, under the glaring light of the law, is telling us we're guilty. And it amazes me how people that grow up hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, we become sated with grace until it's like one couple some years ago, you don't even know them, in my office, trying to tell me that their Wisconsin Synod pastor never told them that it was a sin to live together before they were married. But I knew that they weren't listening to the folks back home either. It really didn't matter what I would tell them. Because this heart is deceitful above all else, as Jeremiah says, it's beyond cure. Who can understand it? If you follow your heart, you're bound to be in trouble. But then he says, by the power that God used to raise the Lord from the dead, he will raise us also. That power that raised Jesus is the power that raises us in that time in our life when we have to say no to ourselves, whether it's something we wanted to drink or eat that we shouldn't, or some pleasure that we wanted to take that was a sin. You feel like you're dying inside when you have to say no. That means crucifying the sinful flesh. That's what that is. You're killing yourself in the sinful nature. And that's why the Lord throws this promise in here. The power that he used to raise Jesus from the dead, he will use in that time to raise you too. To go to the Lord in prayer and Bible study at that time for the help right where you need it. That's exactly what he wants you to do. Don't you know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? He doesn't want us to take our bodies and join them in what's meant for marriage. The two will become one. because he unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body. This is what the Lord wants. He wants us to unite ourselves with the Lord and be one with him in spirit. That feeling you get when you have that little creature in your arms and there's just no other care in the world for either one of you, that's what the Lord wants with us. It seems to be more and more one of the best analogies for just the trust and the care of being one with God in spirit and not having anything come between us and the Lord. Don't be mastered by anything, he says. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your spirit. We should be running away, but not from God. There is some running he calls for here. Did you catch it? Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. There's a time to run away and there's a time to stop. When we go over to serve in China, other pastors and I, and we're in some metro area, we don't cross the street by ourselves. You don't have streets that are empty of traffic. Not with 9 or 10 million people all trying to use those streets. There's cars, there's buses, there's trucks, there's motorcycles, there's mini bikes, there's bicycles. And then all of a sudden, the whole mass of people standing on the curb just decides to go. And if you're by yourself, you're probably just going to get run over. They have some sixth sense about how to get across streets. It was almost dusk one night, the sun going down, and several of us were walking with Reverend Wong, and all of a sudden he said, "Stop." And I just remember, and about this far away, a truck rushed past faster than I was able to see it, and it was gone. I would have stepped right in front of him. He saw it, I didn't, but I stopped. And the Lord is calling out to us in this now, stop! Don't run into the sins that can destroy you. Other sins are like outside your body, but the sexual sins are the ones that get deep inside your soul and in your heart. It's kind of like being up north around a campfire, and you wait until that thing is really burning and you got red hot coals in there. You could take a shovel and scatter those coals all around and start fires. Now, don't do this, kids, but don't even do it at home. But you know what I mean? That would maybe start fires around. But imagine taking the shovel and while you're sitting there shoveling the coals on your lap. Now that's a fire you'll never forget. But what is it about sin? We commit these sins over and over again, and this sin in particular just has a way of making us forget how bad it hurt last time, because the devil's always there at our ear saying, this one's going to get better, this will be better this time. So you got a divorce rate among Americans that's 50% the first marriage. Second marriage is 75%. Third marriage is 90% divorce rate. Are people really learning their lessons along the way? Other sins are outside. This one's on the inside. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? He puts his name on you in your baptism. It's not important whether someone else is watching. God's reputation is on you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in that word-powered water. And living in that day by day, you can say no to the sins of the body and the mind and the heart. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Glorify God with your body. It's the church people, it seems to me, that are so in danger with this. Pastors that I've known and respected. And as you watch the Wells Connection today, you're going to hear a different voice behind it. The man was a family man, well respected in his church, synod communication director. But pornography is easy now. It's right there on your computer. You're only one click away. I was looking for pictures of Jesus Christ one time. And realize that embedded in those pictures of Jesus Christ were links to pornography sites. That's how despicable it is. They're blasphemous. They don't care. They don't care what you call them. But Christians get wrapped up into that, as our former communications director did, and then they don't realize that they're chatting online with someone that sounds like someone who maybe has the same desires as they do and turns out to be an FBI agent. With enough evidence for charging. And the life is ruined. The family's gone. Other sins are outside the body. This one's right down deep inside. Is the Lord really trying to take away the fun like Americans think? Or is he trying to spare us like some boy with the little puppy in his arms saying, "Stay home, I don't want you running away. I don't want you starving. I don't want you getting run over." He wants us home. He wants us safe. He wants us listening, paying attention to the love that just flows out of his heart. "Thou shalt and thou shalt not" are his love. And if you ever doubt that, go back in Exodus 20 or Deuteronomy 5 and look at how the Lord introduces the commandments. "I am the Lord who brought you out of slavery in Egypt." He's trying to win their hearts before he even tells them, "Thou shalt and thou shalt not." And on this side of the cross, when you see that blood that was poured out for you, the price that he paid to save your soul and your body for everlasting life, we do have a gracious God. "I want no other master." Nothing and no one, and not this heart either, but only the Lord Jesus. He shed his blood for me. God help us all to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing in his sight. This is your spiritual worship, the liturgy of your life.